Jesus Christ sat on a mountain and taught his disciples. He taught them many things, many principles, including being blessed from morning, being blessed because you hungered. Blessed are those who thirst. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. But there's one concept that he blessed you for that is not sought after by many people. And that is the concept we're going to look at today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at some of these blessings. You know, we'd all want to be blessed for being peacemakers and, you know, for all these other things. But except for one, maybe. Matthew chapter 5. This is the Beatitudes. He's preaching to the people gathered there. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I don't know anybody yet that wants to be persecuted. And yet, the Bible says that persecution is going to come. Some of us may be being persecuted right now. Situations at job or with our relatives or with our friends. So question, what does it mean to be persecuted? And why did Christ place such a high value in enduring persecution? Well, let me read you out of Munce's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. This is page 509. He has an entry here under persecution. So this is what one Greek scholar says about the word persecution or persecutions. Noun, diagamos, D-I-O-G-M-O-S, is usually rendered persecution in the New Testament, denoting the result of physical or verbal harassment, and is associated with the noun thlipsis, which means oppression or affliction. The term diagamos derives from the verb diakako, which means to pursue or to chase, and literally refers to the results of pursuing or thus persecution. The context of this persecution can be physical, socioeconomic, or emotional. You know, we all heard about being persecuted and not having the mark of the beast and not being able to buy or sell. That's one form of persecution. Let's look at what persecution is. We've read the dictionary's definition. Let's look at what the Bible says about this. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 14. Are the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good, God is put into positions of authority, policemen, governors, various governmental officials, to make sure that there is no civil disobedience and that crimes are punished. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Keep reading in verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. You got a boss? Should be submissive to him, whether he's a good boss or whether he's a harsh boss. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. You know, if you've got a boss that's heavy-handed and you treat him nicely, this is good before God. Because the average response is, if he's going to be mean to me or she's going to be mean to me, I'll just be mean back. So it's commendable to treat people that are not nice. It's commendable to treat them nicely. For what credit is it? And this has to do with persecution. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? Notice, let's say you're living in a country and it's against the law to steal. And you're going to be whipped for stealing. Is that persecution? No, it isn't. It says, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently. This is commendable before God. So, to be harassed and persecuted when you don't deserve to be, and to take it in a right manner, is very commendable to God. Verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us." Was Christ persecuted? Sure was. "Leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." When the mob came to get Jesus, Jesus didn't pull out his AK-47 and level the crowd. Jesus went along and was persecuted. "Leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to those, to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep running, going astray, but now you return to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." So here it says that if we suffer punishment for doing things that are wrong, then that's all right. But to suffer for things that you're doing that are right, and you accept it and take it, that is very commendable before God. So what God wants, and what he shows in the Bible, is that when people are persecuted, you know, there's obvious things you do, and you have to use a little wisdom, but when you're being persecuted, you should not treat other people the way they're treating you. Now, we do have, you know, recourses and things like that, but to take persecution patiently is very, very commendable before God. So that's one of the things I want to discuss. Persecution taken in a right attitude is very, very commendable before God. Now, this does not mean being a doormat. You know, Paul was being persecuted, and Paul appealed to Caesar. He was sent to Rome. But we should not be persecuted. You know, you're not being persecuted if you're rude and demanding to people. That's just the nature of what happens to you. So we have to understand that to be persecuted for doing right is a very, very good thing in God's eyes. Another thing that we have to consider when we look at persecution is we are not greater than our master. We are not greater than our master. If you work for a company and the company sends you off to some far off location, how much authority do you have? Well, you have only as much authority as the company has and no more. And sometimes that will be limited depending on what country you're doing business in. If people do not recognize the authority of the company, they certainly will not recognize your authority if you're a representative of the company. On the other hand, if they recognize the authority of the company, they will always also recognize your authority as a representative of that company. John chapter 15. Another very important principle about persecution. John chapter 15. John 15, and we're going to look at verse 20. This is Christ speaking to the disciples. John 15, verse 20. "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me," and the question is, did they persecute Christ? Oh, yes, they did. "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also." So another important principle about persecution is we are going to suffer persecution because Christ, our master, suffered persecution. And if people, you know, a lot of people wonder what would happen to Christ if he were alive today. He'd be murdered again because he would not fit in with society. I was watching the Republican National Convention at my mother's house, and my one of my relatives was there, and she said, "Do you vote?" And I go, "No, I don't." And I go, "This is one of the years I'm glad I don't vote." And she said. Well, you know, she said, "Well, why don't you vote?" And I go, "Because Christ puts in his own disciples, his own representatives." And I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "If Christ were alive, who would he vote for?" And she said, "Well, he'd vote for Hillary." And I go, "Well, Hillary believes in abortion. So Christ wouldn't vote for Hillary. And she goes like, And that's where the conversation ended. And the point is this. Christ was persecuted. Christ would not fit in society today. If Christ were alive today, he would be persecuted again because he would not fit in with the agenda of this world. And if Christ would not fit in, what does that mean about me and you? If we're his followers, we're not going to fit in. As a matter of fact, if you're not suffering a little bit of persecution, probably you're not doing something that you should be doing. Because almost everybody in the church, for at one point or other, some major, some minor, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer persecution. And the reason is because Christ suffered persecution. And we are not greater than Christ. Third point. The churches are going to suffer persecution. They have in the past. They are presently now in some form or another because members are the church. And they're going to suffer persecution in the future. John chapter 15, once again. We're in verse 26 this time. But when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. They were going to bear witness and preach. Notice chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. There's no chapter break. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. You ever been put out of a church? Because your beliefs didn't agree with the church? They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, a time will come that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you then. So after I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come. It's going to give you the strength to endure persecutions. And it's going to give you the words to speak. The persecution will come, and we need to be ready for it. And it's saying here that persecution is going to come because we're followers of Christ. Always has been. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you can get melodramatic with all this. But the times are coming, brethren, where someone who's married is going to be considered odd. You've been married for 40 years? What's the matter with you? Kind of weird. You know, that's not, you don't fit in. And you don't think that people should have questions about which restroom to use? That's a little strange. Things that were not even considered 40 years ago are now being bandied about as new ideas. And you and I, brethren, as time goes on, we're going to look less and less normal. Or maybe we're going to look so normal that we're going to be abnormal. So the point is this. Society is decaying around us, and we are going to be persecuted for it. Daniel chapter 7. We've been going through this in our prophecy sermon series. Daniel chapter 7. And let me just tell you something, brethren. We win. We win. At the very end, we're winners. But there's going to be some tough times that we're going to have to go through. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom. Verse 24, 10 horns. And 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall arise after them, a little horn. He shall be different from the first ones, shall subdue three kings. And notice what he shall do. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. You know, he doesn't respect God. If he doesn't respect God, what does that mean about you, God's servants? And he shall subdue three kings, verse 24. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High and shall persecute the saints of the Most High. And he's going to do all these things about changing times and laws. So persecution is coming, brethren. The little horn rises up and persecutes the saints. If you are persecuted, it means that you are doing something that most people do not like or understand. If you are being persecuted, it means that you have beliefs that do not agree with the world's standards. If you are being persecuted, it means that your religious beliefs are not in agreement with the world's. If you are persecuted, brethren, It means that you're following Christ's footsteps. Being persecuted for righteousness, not being persecuted because you're a criminal, or not being persecuted because you're a shoplifter, but being persecuted for righteousness' sake is a very great thing in the eyes of God. And he says, because we're being persecuted, we are going to be blessed.